It's Jim, it's the World of Bonds. It's Monday the 24th of May 2021. This is for professional investors only and never investment advice. Welcome to the Eurovision Bond Contest. I'm leaving off the music today. In the background, you usually get something called Compton, but today I'm asking you to put on ABBA's Arrival and listen to that while you listen to the podcast at the same time. Something good on Twitter I found yesterday from Kit Lovelace. Looking at the reasons why the UK loses and comes last in the Eurovision Song Contest a lot of the time, and suggesting it's not really that everyone hates the Brits, it's something more fundamental than that. It's that we persist in making our songs in the major key. And he's looked at all the losers, all the last placed records that have been in the Eurovision for a long time. And if you're in the major key, you're basically throwing away your entry to the Eurovision. Only minor key songs win. The other big mistake that we and other countries make, all the losers, is that we still put in key changes. Key changes used to be fashionable in Eurovision back in the day, but not anymore. You don't want a key change in your song anymore. That's a kind of automatic fail in the eyes of the voters and the judges, because tastes have changed and the UK has forgotten that. And finally, there's a strict range of BPM, beats per minute, that you need in order to win. So if you're not between 85 and 128 beats per minute, you won't win the Eurovision Song Contest. And the UK has been making these mistakes for years, and that's why we win. It's not that everyone hates us after Brexit. Right, well, I'm going to talk about European bonds. We're going to do the Eurovision Bond Contest today, partly because I like that name. And I'm copywriting it, by the way. So let's have a quick look at the economics and the reopening indices for the Eurozone, because it's all going in the right direction at the moment. Goldman Sachs do a reopening index where they look at things like searches for travel, flight bookings, road use, all of the things that are put together in an index to kind of compare activity across the Eurozone and indeed across the world to show which countries are doing well in reopening and which aren't. So we're now at a position where Spain and France are above the UK in terms of their reopening indices. And in both those countries, road traffic's pretty much back to normal. These are the highest readings in those countries since October. Italy's getting up there too. Germany's still a way behind, but improving strongly. And if we look at vaccines across Europe at the moment, they're on 30% first doses compared to the UK's 50% first doses. UK has actually been sideways since the leap upwards that we saw post the April 1st reopening, although the data that we've got now doesn't include what happened post last Monday when we had the latest opening up of part of our roadmap around the pubs, you know, being allowed inside and so forth. So the view of Goldman Sachs in their reopening index work is that the rate of vaccinations that we're seeing in Europe has improved so dramatically that by July and August, we're going to be in a position in Europe that's similar to the US and the UK in terms of overall immunity in the population. Japan, by the way, is the big outlier on the negative side of these things, partly because they've not had very many cases, so there isn't that kind of natural, inverted commas, immunity from people who've caught it, but also their vaccine program is a long way behind, which is the risk, obviously, for the Olympic Games later this summer for Japan. Elsewhere, we have Eurozone PMIs. These are the purchasing manager indices, which give a good idea of optimism around people making business decisions. And that's at a three-year high at the moment, 56.9. That's mainly been driven by services and mainly COVID-sensitive industries. But nevertheless, you know, you'd expect manufacturing to catch up at a later date. Obviously, manufacturing more important for the Eurozone than it is for the UK economy, which is much more service-driven. So with these good developments, is the ECB going to get worried? And people are starting to talk about the June ECB meeting as one where they might even start reducing the pace of those PEP, that pandemic emergency fund that they have, start reducing the rate of purchases there. Although September is where people think we'll see the real action from the ECB. At that meeting, they'll come out with some perhaps changes to their inflation target, maybe some more emphasis on symmetry around allowing overshoots as well as undershoots. And, you know, it is worth pointing out on that Goldman Sachs piece about Europe that I'm talking about now, they do forecast CPI for a few years out for the Eurozone. And even though they're pretty bullish on the growth outlook for Europe, given the reopening indices that we talked about, for 2022, they have Eurozone inflation around about 1%, 2023, 1.5%, 2024 and 25, 1.25%. So in no period over the next 4 years or so do we really get sustained inflation over 2%. They do forecast a bit of a blip above 2% this year, thanks to those base effects that we talk about all the time. But really, no significant improvement in the Eurozone inflation outlook for the foreseeable future. And so any reduction of stimulus or bearishness from the ECB about their worry about inflation looks to be overwrought, really. So let's have a look at the bond contest. The US, we have 1.6% 10-year bond yield stuck there, really. As we know, got up to 1.75%, but have come back down again to just over 1.6%. So what about year to date for some of the bigger Eurozone members? Well, the Bund, the big driver of the benchmark really for the Eurozone, it's gone from minus 60 basis points to minus 13, so a rise of 47 basis points. Italy from positive 55 to 1.02%. That's also a rise of 47%. They, of course, are the winners of the Eurovision Song Contest on Saturday, although they are apparently, according to the radio this morning, they're under investigation for potentially taking drugs during the competition. As we know, kids, drugs and rock and roll and pop music just don't mix. So, you know, that's going on with the Italians. Portugal and Spain have gone from zero 10-year bond yields to 55 basis point bond yields over the course of the year. And France, probably the biggest loser of the big block, although nothing really dramatic, they've gone from minus 35 to positive 24 basis points over the course of the year. So a rise of nearly 60 basis points for French 10-year OATs. Perhaps a bit of political risk coming into French government bonds, because although I think most people still expect President Macron to win the election, there are some risks. I think it looks pretty certain that Le Pen, the far-right candidate, gets into that last runoff for president and is expected to lose at that point, as she has done before. But nevertheless, a bit of politics coming back into play in Europe. In Europe, it's not just France, of course. We still have Italian turbulence, and we have the rise of the Greens in Germany as well, who might do very well in their September elections. So a lot going on. Have very good weeks, and I'll catch up with you later in the week. Bye.